coming, sacrificing your sunny Sunday afternoon to come here. We've been discussing at our place in Wellington last week how actually, although you don't think about it, this world is dark. When I say dark, I don't mean in terms of people's behavior, although that's also there. I mean, basically speaking, this world is dark, and therefore, it needs to be lit by the sun, or it needs to be lit by electric lights or fires. Just think, if there was no sun, no electricity, no fire, you'd have darkness. The basic constitutional position of this world is darkness. Unless there is light coming from some source, you won't be able to see. We should think about this, because normally we don't. We just think, well, the sun goes up, the sun goes down. Sometimes it's cloudy, sometimes it's gray. But we never really think of this universe, whatever part of it we know about, we never think of it as being constitutionally dark. Its inherent nature, its natural situation is meant to be dark. So, into the darkness of our universe comes sunlight. And then you have your little lights powered by electricity, or you can light a fire. All that is to relieve the darkness. So please first meditate on that point. That basically this world is dark. Just thinking in that way starts to give you some idea of what's going on. Now what's the next point? Have you ever woken in the middle of the night with all the lights off and tried to find your way to the bathroom or something? Everyone's done that. So it's a feeling of uncertainty, especially if your house is really dark at night. You kind of stumble around and you kind of hope you're going in the right direction. You can try to use your intuition. I can't see, but I'll use my intuition. You bump into a few walls. Then you start getting in complete anxiety. Maybe I'll knock something over of mine. It's really valuable. Sometimes, I'm sure you've all done this at one point in your life, trying to find the light switch on the wall. Yes, everyone has done like that, you know. You're sure it's right there. And finally, when you can find the light switch, it's somewhere completely where you didn't think it was. In other words, you became completely disoriented. Things weren't where you thought they were. And sometimes you can actually knock things over. I know one unfortunate incident that happened in India. One of our devotees from Europe was there. Near Hrishikesh. Anyone from India here? Yes, near Hrishikesh? Sure. Okay. So, he was with his fellow, his mate, near Hrishikesh, and he was sleeping at night, and he heard a rattling sound, and he thought it was a fan they had set up there, and somehow or other malfunctioning. So he kind of reached towards the sound, and it turned out to be a cobra. And the cobra bit his arm, and basically some hours later he was gone. So this is an example of groping in the dark, reaching into the unknown, and unexpected things happen. That's why everyone feels a little uneasy walking around on lonely, empty streets on a dark night. Do they have sections of Christchurch where you feel a little uneasy walking around at night? Yes? Like where? Huh? What? The square at night? You wouldn't walk around at 1 a.m. Where else? Any other sections? But did you ever think that this whole world at any time of the day was like that? You have to feel uneasy walking around? Did we ever feel that during our so-called normal life, we're actually just groping in the darkness? This may not work. You know what it's like, groping in the darkness, looking for the light switch. So maybe our whole life is like that. Have any of you had that feeling before? That our whole life is groping in the darkness? Sometimes you may, but generally we have the feeling that I know what I'm doing, and even if I don't know what I'm doing, so what? Doesn't matter. Isn't that the normal thing we feel? Even if I don't know what I'm doing, big deal. Life goes on. You don't really have to know what you're doing in order to do something. I can have a meaningful life without knowing anything. Isn't that how society is raising us now? Just become a meaningful economic production and consumptive unit. That's all you need to know or do. Just become an object of desire, especially if you're a lady. Learn how to be an object of desire. And if you're a man, learn how to desire. And now they mixed both. If you're a good lady, you should learn how to be an object of desire and also how to desire. And the man, the same. He should be an object of desire and also to have a desire. In this way, everybody is encouraged to hanker with desires, but no one knows anything. Have you ever had society, in one form or another, present you that how can you act if you don't know what you are or what you're doing here? No. No one's ever been deterred in that way. We get constant impetus. Just do it. Isn't that the way things are today? Just do it. If you tell your friends, I just did it, they'll say, wow, great. Then later they'll ask you, well, what was it? This is so-called advanced civilization. It's like that. You try it. You can say to your friends, I just did it. I went for it. I went all out. The person they'll say is, great, cool. And then later they'll say, oh, by the way, what was it that you went all out for? The standard of so-called civilization today is you should just be active and act according to what you feel. Never mind what you do, just as long as you really feel it. And even if you don't really feel it, still do something. It's better than sitting around and thinking about what you are and why you're here. So our point is that this means the darkness of ignorance. We're groping for the light switch. In fact, we don't even grope for the light switch anymore. We don't care. We just bump around in the darkness. Try this. Wake up in your house, 1 o'clock in the morning, when it's completely dark in the house, make sure the blinds are down so no moonlight comes in, so it's dark. And then say to yourself, just do it. Just start walking around your house in the complete darkness, repeating, just do it. You'll just crash into so many things, you'll hurt yourself, you'll knock things over. But all the while, just tell yourself, just do it. And then you can understand the way society is today. Everyone is trained to be so active, try for things, earn money, spend money. No one is trained to get knowledge of their basic situation. Try to understand what it's like going from your teens into your 20s these days? You have anyone here going from their teens into their 20s? Yes? Anyone else? Are you going from your teens to your 20s? Already in your 30s, huh? So, when you're going from your teens to your 20s, it's actually very difficult these days, because by the time you're 15, you've done everything you're going to do all the rest of your life. Maybe two generations ago, the adults, they learned when they were teenagers to postpone their sense gratification until they were 20 or so, or at least 18. Now, everyone is taught, as soon as possible, just do everything. Therefore, you find that young men and women, by the time they're 15, they've already done everything they can do the rest of their life. So what's the normal solution then in New Zealand if you have money? By the time you're 17, if you have a few dollars saved up, you want the overseas experience, because you already did everything that you can do. So you figure, if I go overseas and do the same thing, it'll have new freshness to it. Let me go to London. What do I do in London? I'll just get intoxicated. I'll just have sex life. But it'll be different. And then after some years, I'll come back, some months or whatever, I'll come back to New Zealand, and what will I do? The same thing. And that's all I have to look forward to the rest of my life. Except sooner or later, I'll have to really worry about getting steady money in order to support my lifestyle. This is the darkness of ignorance. But people don't care to recognize it in that way. They just want to be active. They just want to do it. And that means lost in darkness. Not only do we need sunlight or moonlight or the light of fire and electricity, we also need the light of knowledge. An intelligent person wants to understand completely what I am, what I'm doing here. Then that person feels comfortable about acting. Now, how many of you really will hesitate before acting because you don't have knowledge? Have any of you ever just said, I'm not doing another thing until I find out what it's all about? Anyone said that? No. Has society ever given you the kind of training in which you'll hesitate before acting because you don't have the right information? No. Everyone is urged. Just work hard, spend your money, be full of desires, and don't think too much. Sometimes people who come here regularly, their friends and family members tell them, you just think too much. Why are you worried about whether you're the body or the soul? Why are you worried about what your body in your past life was and what your next body in the future birth will be, whether there's someone in control or not? Why are you thinking about all these things? You just think too much. It gets in the way of enjoyment. Just make merry. Satisfy your body and mind as best you can. You can't understand all these things, so what's the use in trying? Furthermore, everyone has their own answers. There's no correct answer. It's just whatever you want. In this way, you don't get any encouragement whatsoever to use your brain. You see, according to the Vedic standard of ancient India, which we are reviving today, using your brain means more than just going to the university. Using your brain means to realize I should not do anything unless I have complete knowledge of the situation. Just like if you're traveling abroad, generally people who don't want to spend a lot of money, they get these Lonely Planet guidebooks. Going to Australia or India or Thailand or England, you want these Lonely Planet guidebooks because they tell you all the cheap places to stay. You just don't want to land in London not knowing where to go. You have friends, they tell you, yeah, you go stay here, you probably can get a job there. You want all the information before you go. But why don't we live our whole life like that? Why don't we try to understand? Am I this body or something else? But what happens is that our senses push us. Just act, even though you don't know. You'll be happy anyway. We do not see the connection between knowledge and pleasure. That is a big problem. No one has ever allowed us to see that the more you know, the more pleasure you have. Perhaps the problem is because you don't see the connection between the kind of knowledge they teach you in school and pleasure. Generally, almost always, the kind of knowledge they teach you in school is just to get money, and with that money, you hope to get pleasure. So there's no real connection between the knowledge and pleasure. Generally, people go to school, even university, because they want some certificate, some diploma, which will allow them to get more money. And the money means you can purchase pleasure. But you never think that the knowledge they teach you gives you pleasure. That is material knowledge. But spiritual knowledge directly connects with pleasure. By coming here, you'll understand that connection. That I'm suffering because of ignorance. And real knowledge will connect me with pleasure. Real knowledge begins by helping you to understand you're not the body. This body is an unwanted, unnecessary thing. Oh, that's really hard for us to accept. What do you mean the body is an unwanted, unnecessary thing? This body is all we are, or this body is all we have. Or even people who understand, theoretically, that they're not the body, they think the body has been given to us to enjoy. Actually, the body is simply a collection of various sufferings and a few fevers that we call pleasure. That's all. Bag of suffering. One young man, I don't know if his father is here today, he's from India, he's 13 years old, so he was at our class this morning, and we were talking about these kind of things, the body and misery and pleasure. You see, here we really get into all these topics. We want to use our intelligence. We just don't want to be units of production and consumption. We just don't want to be fools going from cinema, to party, to pub, to rugby match. Very boring existence. So we want to analyze life so that we can find the highest quality of existence. So this young boy, he was 13. He's there in class with his mother and father and his sister. So after class ended, he asked a question. He said, and it was very sincere and innocent. He asked, what is material misery? He felt he had never experienced such a thing. So I asked him, you don't know what material misery is? He said, no. I said, have you ever had chicken pox, measles, or the mumps? He said, yes, I had the chicken pox. I said, well, how did that feel, having your body covered with all those things? Oh, I didn't like it. I said, well, that's material misery. I said, did you ask to have the chicken pox?
No.
But it was forced on you. Similarly, so many things come to us. We never ask for them, but they're forced on us. But we'd rather not think of that if we can. We'd rather think of a few fevers in between that we call happiness. Now, according to the Vedic standard of knowledge, even material happiness is classified as an agitation, a disturbance. Well, how could that be? How could happiness be a disturbance? I know that distress is a disturbance, but how can happiness be a disturbance? The point is that Both material happiness and distress are artificial. They have nothing to do with the soul. Both are agitations or disturbances that are external to you. Just like your body temperature. Sometimes the body temperature is too high and you suffer from fever. Other times the body temperature is warm and you like it. But both things have nothing really to do with you. Real yoga, real meditation means purification from identifying with the body. People talk about yoga and meditation. They don't know what it's about. They think maybe yoga means how to reduce your body fat. They think meditation means how to have no desires, how to have no mental disturbances. But actually, yoga and meditation mean, first of all, to purify myself from identifying with the body and mind, and secondly, to focus my existence on the Supreme. That is the real purpose of yoga and meditation. But we have no information of the Supreme. First of all, we don't know that we're spirit soul. We think I'm the body. Secondly, we don't know anything about the Supreme Soul. Therefore, from the Vedic standard, there's no hope of happiness when we are afflicted by such ignorance. Just try to see how your life is going right now. Somehow or other you have to have money to pay for things that you hope will give you pleasure. I want to buy this CD. I want to get this dress. I want to go up to Sweetwater. I have to have some money to get all the way up there. Are you guys going up there for that? No. But you wish you could, right? Yeah. And why? Yes, you do. And why do you wish you could go there? Have a good time. And what does that good time mean? What do you do when you're having a good time? Be happy. Yeah, but what are you doing? Why do you have to go all the way up to Sweetwater to be happy? Huh? You've done everything here. So when you go to Sweetwater, it'll be different, right? You've done everything in Christchurch. But what have you done in Christchurch? Better not tell me. But my point is, you think that you'll be happy going to Sweetwater, you'll just do the same thing there. What do they do at these big gatherings? Huh? Drink, smoke, right? And if you feel inclined, you'll find someone for the weekend, right? Right? Yeah. But you can do that in Christ Church, yes? But it'll be different in Sweetwater, right? Yes? Do you really think it's going to be different? The same thing. Here in Christ Church, you smoke, you drink, you have your friends for the weekend, right? And you go to Sweetwater, it'll be the same thing. Except there's music playing, that'll make it different, right? Outdoors, meeting people, the drinking will, the alcohol will taste different, won't it? Now we're on the North Island in Manukau at the Sweetwater Festival. The alcohol tastes different. The smoke tastes different, yeah? No, same old thing. And you meet some boy, and it'll all be different than in Christ Church, right? Here I am with you at Sweetwater. It's totally different. No, the boy will say the same stupid things to you, and you'll say the same things back to him. And, you know, same old, same old. Right? Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, same thing. You'll say to him, well, you know, I don't know how long we're going to be together, but at least we can have fun this weekend. He'll say, yes, yes, that's the main thing. Right? Yeah. This is what people call civilization today. I know those coming from India, they're horrified to hear this. But this kind of lifestyle is also coming to India, too. How many have been to Delhi recently? Anyone been to Delhi recently? No. You're from mostly from Fiji or directly from India? Yeah. If you go to Delhi, you find the girls going to high school with mini skirts. Yes. Do you know in high schools in Delhi they sell contraceptives in the high schools? Now, did you know that? Becoming advanced like the Western countries. Everywhere people are thinking, why should there be any restriction to our senses? The more wild our senses are, the better. Isn't that the way it is now? Right? Yeah. That's what's happening all around you, right? It wasn't so much that you thought about it, just everybody around you, they're thinking. Yes, just let your senses grow wild. Let your senses go wild, you'll be happy, right? Yeah. And of course you thought, sure, everyone's like that. Now, has it really made you happy? Who'd be honest to answer that question? What do you think? Has it really made you happy? Yeah. Tell me about some of the good times that you can say in public. Had some cool parties, huh? What was cool about them? The music and stuff. What about the stuff? Now, can you do that all your life? Do you see yourself doing that all your life? What about you? Do you see yourself doing it? So why is it such fun if you can't do it all your life? Huh? You're only here once. You're only young once. Are you sure? How do you know? So what are you going to do then? So when you're 30 years old, you're going to take it easy? What's that? Oh, you have to have more of an understanding than that. I'll see you when I get there. Once again, we're groping in the darkness for the light switch. You're smashing through your dark house saying, well, when I get to the light switch, I'll turn it on. No, if you're smart, you want the light on immediately, right? So why would you say, I'll see when I get there? You should say, I want illumination now. Mysteries? Is that what you call it? Take it as it comes. Is it mystery or is it ignorance? A bit of both. This is another great gift of society these days. No one knows anything, but they refuse to admit it. They call it mystery. Actually, it's just plain ignorance. Am I this body or am I not? If you can't answer that question, there's no hope for happiness. As long as you think I'm this body, then there has to be suffering, because as she pointed out, the body is going to grow old. It's going to lose its strength. So the body is a very faulty thing to base your pleasure on. You see what I mean? Even now, you're young. What, about 17? 15. So, even now, your body causes you problems. It does things you didn't ask for, right? Yes. When you were 12 years old, 11 or 12, I don't know what age, but when you were 11 or 12, did you ask, now I want to think about boys? Did you ask your body that? No, what happened? The body said, now you will think about boys. Forced on you. Before that, you were peaceful. All of a sudden, you're 11 and 12, and you're full of anxiety. Oh, how do I look? You ask your girlfriends, do you think I look good enough? How are they thinking about me? Right? Forced on you. Similarly, old age will be forced on you. Tiredness will be forced on you. But you say you'll take it as it comes. You can't. How do you know you can't change it? She says you can't change it. How do you know? Huh? Maybe you have to learn the art of how to change these things. Yes, yes. There's an art to having pleasure. But the first step in having pleasure is to understand you're not the body. But we're afraid of that. What do you mean I'm not the body? Are you trying to take away the only pleasure I have? Right? I can't think of anything more. But as you, as this nice lady, young lady, very appropriately said, all happiness on the body, all happiness based on the body is eventually going to fade. But she thinks she's going to take it as it comes and she'll deal with that when it happens. Have you ever gone to Cathedral Square or Colombo Street and just didn't look for the young people, but looked for all the old, very old people in the street walking them down? Have you ever done that? You two should try that. You two are friends? Okay. Go watching for very old people on Colombo Street. It's exciting, huh? Look at the old man. Bent over, withered up. Look at the old ladies. And think, soon I'll be like them. You don't want to do that, huh? Why? Make the most of it while you're young. Okay, how do you make the most of it? You see, you're giving, I'm very much appreciating you're giving the people a first-hand education. Okay, we agree you should use the body. I'm also using the body. They're younger than me. They're using the body. But for what? Whatever you want. Whatever makes you happy. So suppose I have a screwdriver. And so you say, well, you've got a screwdriver. Just use it as much as you can. So I say, okay, I'll poke your eyes out with it. It's a screwdriver. You said whatever makes me happy, I should use the screwdriver. I'll just poke your eyes out. How would you like that? Huh? What's that? Why not? It makes me happy. But the point is, it makes me happy. Well, you should, but because doing that, poking your eyes out with my screwdriver makes me happy, you should also be happy about it. What? But I think that, you know, you'd look better without your eyes. I am being considerate. Now, how are we going to decide which is right and which is wrong? You don't know. Bit of what? What do you mean? It's just the way I'm happy. How dare you call it extreme? I really feel within. My intuition is telling me. The voice within is telling me to poke eyes out with screwdrivers. I mean, don't you get tired of your eyes blinking all the time? If you didn't have them, it wouldn't happen. You told me I have a screwdriver, I should use it. Just like you said, we have these bodies, we should use it. Now, but, alright, going back to the body. How do I find out how to use the body? Because you don't want me poking out eyes. So what do I do? What's that? Some form of religion. And that'll teach me what to do with my body? Some ideas. Is that what you're doing? No, in general. Got your own perception of self. Stuff. Oh, okay, but I had my own perception of stuff, but you didn't like it. You said poking out eyes is not good.
Likes what?
Yeah, okay, so why don't allow me to poke your eyes? Our life is full of differences. Yeah, now you're talking. In other words, you get my point, right? Who decides what to do? You say, well, we have these bodies, we should use them. But how do you understand the purpose of your body? Did you ever think, what's the purpose of me having this body? You did? What conclusions did you come up with? To keep the spirit inside. If you didn't have a body, the spirit would just fall out, huh? To show you what you look like? So you need a body in order to see yourself, huh? Now you say spirit. How did spirit get a body in the first place? Isn't that an important question? Yes, because you should think, actually the spirit doesn't need the body. The body is something added on. What is so glorious about having this body that has the miseries of birth, growing up, getting old, sick and dying? What's so glorious about this body? Why do we think it's so necessary? Right? Now you're understanding that we are in illusion. We don't know anything else to do except think we're something that we're not. You take good care of the body, right? Combing the hair, putting on nice jewelry and clothes, right? Because you think it'll make you happy, right? But you're not the body, so what's the use in you thinking it's going to make you happy when you're not it? Yeah, it's crazy. This is Krishna's first instruction in Bhagavad Gita. Anytime you base your life decisions on being the body, you're wrong. How does that sound? What do you think? You're not too sure that the only pleasure you know is with the body, right? That means ignorance. Because this body is just flesh and blood and bones. It's temporary. Soon it will be old if you live that long. How can you base your whole pleasure on this thing called a body? And you say that you're spirit. So Krishna will teach you in Bhagavad Gita that real pleasure is based on the spirit. That means we need an education in how to express the spirit soul. That is the whole art, science, and culture of Krishna consciousness. How to act on the spiritual platform. Just like you said, we're spirit in these bodies. But you don't know what spirit does, do you? All you know is what the body does. And that's how come your pleasure is condemned. Because you just know what the body does. Everyone's like that. Real education begins with understanding, I'm spirit soul, and I know what spirit soul does. This body, it eats, it sleeps, it mates, it tries to protect itself, but the spirit soul's business is to engage in loving affairs with the supreme soul. That is something else. Wouldn't that sound exciting to you? The spirit soul engages in loving affairs with the supreme soul. That is Krishna consciousness. So you come here, you're a little bit interested in Krishna. Krishna means the all-attractive reservoir of pleasure. The hardest part to understand about the science of God is accepting that the supreme is the best enjoyer. And we are failures at enjoyment. Real humility, real pridelessness begins with accepting that I try to enjoy in this world and I failed and I'll always fail until I learn yoga. What is yoga? Yoga means to connect. To connect with what? To connect with the Supreme Soul. As long as I try to be the independent enjoyer, thinking I'm this body, I'll simply run into distress sooner or later. Actually, even when I think there's happiness, there's simply distress. Have you ever, just like our young friend there, she's mentioning, sometimes at parties she's happy. The music and stuff, they wouldn't say what the stuff is, but music and stuff made them happy. Now, The end is going to come. You can't have a party forever, right? So therefore, naturally, anxiety will come. It's going to end soon. Now how can that be pleasure when you're in anxiety that this is going to end? Memories of it. Just see how cheap we're willing to sell ourselves. I just want some memories, that's all. This is what society does to us. All. We just blow ourselves out for a few memories. So you had some real good memories, huh? Real good parties, huh? And so you're hoping to get a few more of those before you get too old, right? So you can just see yourself rocking in a rocking chair if you make it till 60.
I remember when I was 15, the parties.
Is that what you plan on doing? So what do you think you'd be doing when you're 60? Can you shut the door, please? Still working. Why?
I don't know, because, like, I
don't know,
I want to work with people, and I want to keep on giving back to everyone.
Keep on giving what to everyone? But unless you know what the real gift is to give to people, you could be doing them a lot of harm. That's why you have to get knowledge. And this is the problem in society. Young or old, parents or children, no one knows what they're doing and no one cares. Groping in the darkness. So this establishment, this Krishna conscious establishment, is for teaching people first to think. That's a great task. Think. What are you? What are you doing here? We don't say just believe here. We say try to understand. And then take up the Krishna conscious process for experiencing your spiritual identity and experiencing relationship with the Supreme Soul. But because we don't see that as pleasure, therefore we're not interested. That's why I first have to attack your standards of pleasure. You don't mind, do you? It's not pleasure. So many problems can come while you're having your parties. Right? So many unexpected problems. You could get very drunk, very intoxicated. If you're taking drugs, you could overdose, right? You could be attacked. Violence. But we're thinking, oh, it's pleasure, we're making merry. Our situation is very severe because we don't know what we're doing, yet we don't feel any danger from that. This is what makes teaching Krishna consciousness very difficult. You're trying to give the highest thing, but people don't even recognize their suffering condition. They're willing to settle for a few years of happiness. As long as they get some good memories. That's all. A few good times that I can think about later. This is not human life. Human life means that you act so that you'll always get pleasure. To always get pleasure, that means non-material. Because anything material has a beginning and end. But we're thinking, okay, spiritual pleasure, how do I get that? It requires training, though. The whole process of Krishna consciousness is meant to teach you how to connect with the supreme pleasure. By hearing about Krishna, you realize spiritual pleasure is possible. Simply by hearing about Krishna's enjoyment, you feel perfectly satisfied. Now, have you ever been perfectly satisfied hearing about someone else's enjoyment? No. Suppose Your friend there, she tells you all about her happy times. Will you feel perfectly satisfied? No, you'll be thinking, well, I want happy times too, right? Why didn't you invite me to the party? But hearing about Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how Krishna enjoys, makes you perfectly satisfied because you are part of Krishna. These are all the experiences available to someone who doesn't make the mistake of thinking I'm the body and the purpose of life is to do whatever I want with the body. You can't even do whatever you want with the body. It forces you. Just like when you were 11 or 12, the body said, now you'll think of boys. It was forced on you. Old age will be forced on you. So there's no question of having an unrestricted life based on the body. Therefore, it's the greatest disservice to humanity for people to grow up thinking, I'm the body. If you want freedom, if you want pleasure without restriction, you have to come to the spiritual platform. That means you have to deal with Krishna. And because we are part of Krishna, simply by hearing about Krishna's pleasure will give you perfect pleasure. Any questions? What do you think? It sounds interesting? Do you have any questions? What do you think? Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna means, my dear Lord Krishna, please engage me in your service. Now I'm serving illusion, but I want to serve your spiritual energy. You see, no matter what you do, you're serving Krishna. But you can serve him indirectly through the material energy, which means suffering and ignorance, or you can serve Krishna directly through the spiritual energy. By chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, you change the influence, or you change the energy that you're operating under. This is why you can't get your life together to your satisfaction. Because you're operating under the wrong energy, the material energy, the illusion energy. Any adults here can tell these young ladies, I've gotten my life together to my satisfaction. Can anyone say that? Not possible. The adults will tell you, if they're honest, you just can't do that. You just got to take it as it is. You're not going to win everything. You just got to try to get a little pleasure. That's all you're going to get. Better that you learn yoga. Real yoga means how to change the influence, change the energy you're living under. Switch from living under the energy of matter to the energy of spirit. But mind you, both energies, matter and spirit, belong to Krishna. Therefore, even when you're in illusion, you can't get away from Krishna. It's Krishna's energy of illusion. When you say, I'm this body, and you should just do what you like with your body, and you should go to parties and be cool and like that. That's also Krishna's energy. But it's the wrong energy you should be associating with. So you can't get away from Krishna. Whether it's matter or spirit, it all belongs to Krishna. Just like you can take power from the electric company and you can operate an air conditioner or a heater. It's all coming from the electric powerhouse. But that same electricity causes two different effects, cooling or heating. Similarly, all the energy comes from Krishna, but it has different effects. There's the energy of illusion that bewilders you. Krishna's energy of bewilderment makes you think, I'm the body. Do whatever I feel is good. It's up to me. That's the illusory energy. And Krishna's spiritual energy allows you to understand, I am part of Krishna. I'm meant to give pleasure to Krishna. So you can choose which energy you want to associate with. The energy of ignorance. When we're associating with the energy of ignorance, we don't care. So what if you don't know?
You just, you know,
Do the best you can. You know, take it as it comes. See what happens. You can just imagine yourself stumbling around in your house in the middle of the night. You're getting up trying to find the bathroom or something. And you say, oh, who cares if I find the light switch or not? Just take it as it comes. Bam. See what happens. Smash. No, you want the light switch as soon as possible. This is common sense. Getting the light switch as soon as possible means switching on the spiritual energy. And by chanting Hare Krishna, you can do that. Then the whole atmosphere of your life, internally and externally, changes. Instead of thinking I'm the body, you think I am spirit soul, part and parcel of the Supreme Soul. I'm meant to give pleasure to Krishna, and because I'm part of Krishna, by giving pleasure to Krishna, automatically I'll get pleasure. Huh? No one? Any questions? Richard, does your friend have any questions? Did you used to do what our friends here did? A little bit. So are you missing all that now? So you should talk to her and ask her. You mean you're not missing the parties? We have parties here every day. Our parties start at 4:30 in the morning. We sing and dance at 4:30 in the morning. All throughout the day, we're singing and dancing. Adults, young people, children, everyone. We have the best knowledge. Our information comes directly from Krishna. We don't take information from people with imperfect senses. Can you beat that? You'll pay money to go to university to learn from people who have imperfect senses. We take our knowledge directly from Krishna. Krishna says, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I know everything, past, present, and future. I know all living beings, but no one knows me. So many people have lost interest in God because they think there's no information about God. Real religion means comprehensive, complete knowledge of the Supreme Person. So you should use your short life to find the greatest information about the Supreme. Then you'll find the greatest information about pleasure. Suppose I say to you, I have information. You can have the best enjoyment. What will you say? Yes. Great. But if I say, I have information about Krishna, what will you say? Tell me sometime, not today. Because this is the ignorance, the illusion. You don't see the connection between Krishna and pleasure. And it's due to pride. I know all about pleasure. I don't need Krishna for pleasure. Therefore, spiritual life is very difficult to take up when we still have that pride thinking, I'm a successful enjoyer. But those who are actually materially exhausted, they have an easy time becoming Krishna conscious. Those who are still intoxicated by the false hope of pleasure in this world, they have a difficult time. All right, shall we end it there? Thank you all for listening so nicely. Hare Krishna. Thank you. here's what happens now. All right, now you have the banquet. The party banquet.